Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast, Hot Takes Edition.
Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Well, here we go again. Here with another Hot Takes Edition of the Unconquered Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Jason Staples. I want to thank real quickly my sponsors, Luis Marquez from Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida, and Garage Makeovers in South Florida, the Fort Lauderdale, Broward County area. If you have any needs in either of those areas, all of that information is in the show notes. Going to go ahead and get to it. Going to be pretty quick on these hot takes because ultimately the game more or less matched up what the preview said to expect. And I'd mentioned in the preview that I thought this would be a game that Florida State would have a chance to win. I thought they had a better chance to win this than a lot of people gave them credit for. And I thought that it was going to be a very high variance game where, you know, either team could win this by a reasonable amount. And I think we saw that in the two halves. This game was high variance enough that it was that the variance was significant from half to half. Yeah, so a very frustrating loss, 28-27, a score that I unfortunately associate with another Miami loss that hits very close to home. But this was a game where Florida State up 27-7 absolutely should have won this game. Were in position to win this game. Even after Miami cut it close, Florida State, with a phenomenally timed double pass call, took the lead at 33-21 at the time. And it would have completely stemmed the tide in terms of momentum. They probably would have gone for two there to make it 35 or 33. Unlikely to kick the extra point there. And because of I think it was actually a horizontal pass, which actually makes the forward pass legal. So I think it was a missed call. But we're talking about inches on this, and ultimately that's one of the things we run exactly that same double pass. We've scored on it a few times in the last couple of years. And we emphasize that you have to make sure that it is notably backwards for the officials, because if it's even, they'll default to it being forward. And you know, I think they were right on the money in terms of it being horizontal, basically being even, but you can't put that in the hands of the officials. I don't think the right call was made. It was a brilliant call, great timing. Should have put the ball game away, but it didn't, and things ultimately went the opposite way there. But you know, obviously, this game is gonna that play is gonna cast its long shadow on this result, forever, basically. Beyond that, you know, in the preview, we talked about how Florida State would have to throw early, particularly on first down, and have some success there. They did that. Taggart and Walt Bell came out and they threw early on first down, were able to take advantage of Miami loading up and trying to take away the run. And they were successful early in building that lead, in large part because they did that. Now, I do think they got away from that a little bit as the game went along. I didn't have too much of an issue with calling more run plays as the game got into the mid-game area, but there were a couple opportunities I thought where, just based on matchups, based on alignment, they could have had maybe taken a shot here or there. Francois, though, you know, was at very average in this game, 15 of 30 for 129 yards and the two scores. Yeah. But you know, you're talking about a lot of average in this game. And then the one interception, which to me, again, in the preview, we talked about how Florida State needed to be even in the turnover battle to win this game. If the turnover battle was even, Florida State would have every chance to win this game. But if Miami was, if Florida State was minus one, if Miami was plus one in this game, then I expected Miami to win the game. That late interception on the screen pass, the tight end screen, to me, that play and the double pass not being called a touchdown, those are the two plays that changed this game. Yeah, the fumble changed the game as well, but really the additional momentum of the interception and then the immediate score after that, that's what really completely changed the game. It took it to a one score game. And yeah, it's unfortunate based on my initial viewing of that. I actually don't think that's really on Francois. I think actually McKitty was a little too lackadaisical in his route there. You've got to come across just a little bit more horizontally to make sure that nobody can undercut that. And he faded up the field a little bit. Francois threw it, expecting him to come across just a little bit. Pinckney, the linebacker, did a great job of undercutting it, seeing the play, undercut it, and made a really athletic interception. If McKitty cuts that across, at worst, he gets blown up. At best, he actually catches that going the opposite direction of Pinckney and potentially gets a big play out of that. But, you know, it those are the breaks, and those are the plays that, you know, win and lose rivalry games. You've got to be able to make those big plays. Miami made really one more than Florida State was allowed to make, and that's the difference in the game. As far as other factors, I mean, neither team could run the ball. It's basically what I expected. Florida State, 33 carries for 70 yards, 2.1 yards per carry. That includes a little bit of sack yardage. Looking at the box score here, Francois, 11 carries for minus 13. And let's see how many sacks did they get credited for? This is, I don't see it on the stats that I have right now. So I'll have to get that out in the next podcast, but you know, 2.1 yards per rush, including sack yardage. I mean, that's basically what we would have expected from Florida State in this game. It was a bad matchup with Miami's front. I thought they did a pretty good job, you know, given not having Dickerson in there, given the way given the hand they were dealt, they did a good job of keeping Miami off balance and at least staying reasonably balanced in terms of what they forced Miami to defend. I think they probably could have called a couple more shots on first down late in the game. Particularly, I thought that that outside zone to Jaquez Patrick on the second to last drive of the game was a bit of a head scratcher. I didn't quite understand why you would start with that play in that situation. But again, you're nitpicking at that point, and you know, if it hits, then yeah, I might be questioning it, but I'd be happy that they called it. So, you know, I that's pretty nitpicky to get there. But like I said, the most I could say about that is that as the mid game came, I thought they could have thrown it on first down a couple more times, maybe taken a shot or two more to try to take advantage of how Miami was covering. But you know, Miami had the same problem running the ball. 46 carries for 102 yards. That's only 2.2 yards per carry. I mean, they weren't able to run it on Florida State any better than Florida State was able to run it on them. So, yeah, that was the game. And really, it basically boiled down to two turnovers to one turnover and that one play called back. There's your ball game. You know, Florida State actually had the edge in field position. And of course, you know, that gets skewed even more by an absolutely beautiful, a gorgeous punt return by DJ Matthews, which is actually one of the reasons why you look at the total yards and passing yards on the day and you go, well, Miami dominated this game, 306 to 200 total yards. I mean, Miami, you know, they just dominate. Well, yeah, but Florida State had a big edge on special teams in this game, which is the first time that's happened all year. And you know, they had several punt returns that cut down how many yards they had to gain. So yeah, I mean, it's all about the ability to score on special teams if you can get it. Interesting thing, actually, and I had this thought when Matthews returned that for a touchdown. I had the thought of, you know, Miami's defense is tired. If Florida State can't force Miami into a three and out here, this may actually be somewhat helpful for Miami's defensive front to be able to recover a little bit and stay on the sideline a little bit longer. And I do wonder if that was helpful, but you know, you'll take the points every time. And again, a great return by DJ Matthews. hard to believe that that guy was on the sideline watching McFadden not return punts last year. yeah. Special teams last year and some of the decisions in terms of who was back and doing what. You know, those of you who listen to the podcast know full well that that was a mystery then, continues to be a mystery now. No less frustrating now thinking about that. But yeah, Matthews is something else. You know, he's got that it factor with the ball in his hands in the open field, and he has a real knack for punt returns and seeing the seams. I mean, he looks like he might break if somebody touches him, but you know, nobody gets real close to him. So and he understands angles and understands that he's just got to make one move and get upfield, and does a really good job of it. You know, and he's a courageous catcher of the ball too, which is so important back there. Certainly the best, this was the best punt returning performance we've seen at Florida State since Greg Reed back in 2012. And actually I guess that would have been 2011 because he got kicked off the team right before 2012. So Greg Reed in 2011 was the last time we saw anything like this in terms of a punt returner. So that's a weapon to have. Now that said, you come out of this game 3-3, and you know, it's unfortunate because this was a game that I thought they had a real chance to win. I think the coaching staff thought they had a chance to win this, and they did have a chance to win this and should have won this game. And this would have put them in great position to make a bowl. But you can take a lot of positives out of this. I mean, they executed well on offense for about 2.5 quarters. There's still some things they need to clean up in terms of finishing, in terms of some of the culture stuff there. But, you know, a lot of positives there in that regard. But, as far as any other observations, I will say that I do think that Willie Taggart and his staff showed a few things in this game in terms of how they're going to attack rivalry games and some things that actually are really encouraging moving forward. I've always said that there are kind of two approaches you can take as a coach, as a play caller going into rivalry games, you know, the games, various games on your schedule. One approach is to take the every game is the same approach. And you will always want to kind of take that approach with your team, even if they don't really believe you. You do want to preach the every game is equal, one game at a time thing. But as a staff, there are two approaches you can take in preparation as a coach. One is to again treat every game as you know, as an equal opportunity to win, to run what you run, and you know, basically do the best that you can in every game. Another is to always have a few extra wrinkles in your back pocket and to save a few tendency breakers for rivalry games, and to circle those two or three dates on your calendar where, you know what, we're going to put just a little bit more in the game plan, a couple little wrinkles, a couple things that we're going to hold back for most of the year. We won't show much of this. This is going to be our tendency most of the year. And then when we get here, we're going to be ready to break it. That's something Jimbo Fisher always did. That's something Nick Saban does. That's, you know, a lot of top coaches who have a good record of success in rivalry games do that, where they set tendency, and then you get to the rivalry games and they break tendency. And then, you know, you have your other coaches who tend not to do that quite so well. And, you know, that takes a good amount of self-scouting. That takes, you know, some planning in terms of how you're going to, you know, carry specific things into different games. Taggart showed to me in this game that he's a guy that's going to circle those dates on the calendar. He understands the importance of rivalry games, and he came into this game, and I'd suspected it a little bit based on what we saw last week and the week prior, in particular, from what they'd been doing in the running game, some of the things that they'd shown, that he might break out a wrinkle or two in this game, that he might be setting up a couple things for a rivalry game down the line. And they did break tendency a few times in this game with some really nice wrinkles, one of which was that bubble pass that should have scored, and which did score, should have been called a score. they had some really nice wrinkles prepared right up front, scripted in, knowing that Miami would counter with this. They countered the counter and did so in ways that really put the team in position to get an early lead. And I think that's something that we're going to see more of from Taggart moving forward. I think it shows a little bit about his personality as a coach, that he's going to have a few extra things in the game plan for that opening script, particularly for the opening quarter against a rival. And then he's going to have one or two tricks, you know, kind of Bobby Bowden style, held back for that crucial moment in the game later on. So that, I think that showed us something about his personality there. And that's something that I like that particular approach. You know, use the games that you should win to set up some tendencies for the games that you have to win. and I think that's what we saw from Taggart and the staff in this game. Defense simplified a little bit compared to what they've been doing the last few weeks. They mixed coverages a little bit less and just tried to let their secondary play a little bit more, let the linebackers play a little bit more. I think overall assignments were more sound. They'll go back to doing some of the more aggressive, exotic stuff as well, but they just tried to play really sound defense in this one. I think they did that very well. Again, giving up 2.2 yards per rush and, 306 yards on 46 plus 32. So that's 78 plays, 306 yards on 78 plays. You know, it's 3.9 yards per play given up by the defense. That's excellent. You expect to win when you give up 3.9 yards per play as a defense. The two short fields from turnovers are really what did it, and two of those are fourth down conversions for touchdowns by Miami. Now, I will say this as a criticism of the defensive staff. I thought it was somewhat inexplicable to have Litton and Samuel, two freshman corners, matched up against that guy on fourth down in goal line. I don't understand that. I don't know that anybody could convince me of why that made a lot of sense. Litton maybe a little bit more with a little bit more size, but again, you don't want a true freshman there in that situation. And, you know, I understand Stanford Samuels is a safety right now, but to me in that situation, you put Stanford Samuels out wide on that guy and you tell him to be the one-on-one coverage guy, particularly on the fourth down that went to Cager for the fade. That's when you can't let that happen. You knew, everybody in the stadium and everybody watching on television knew that ball was going back to Cager. I mean, he had signaled to the sideline, let me have it again. And everybody knew that was going back there. It was fortunate that it wasn't caught before. He basically allowed Samuel to get his hand on it and then kind of jostle it away. And it was a good play by Samuel. But you're looking at, 6'4", 6'5", against a guy that's 5'8", 5'9". That's you're not going to win that. You're not going to win it twice in a row. To me, at that point, you pull Samuel off the field, or you even put him inside at the safety position if he's capable of doing it, and you put your free safety out there. If you have to, you put Hamza out there. You put your big safeties out there against those big receivers to match that up, and you come in prepared to do that. And I didn't think they were prepared for the big receivers in the red zone, and it cost him two touchdowns. That's another thing that, you know, that's the one place where defensively I thought that the performance was underwhelming and where the planning was underwhelming. Otherwise, the defense played terrific football. And, you know, one of those plays goes the other way. One of those plays, you're ready with a little bigger corner, a more experienced corner, and you get out of there with a win. That's how close. I mean, this game came down to, you know, you could circle any one of five, six plays, And this game goes the other way. But a lot to be optimistic about in terms of offensive efficiency or offensive execution, not efficiency really, but in terms of execution, in terms of this team looking and feeling like it's close to turning the corner in terms of being a, say, top 30, top 25 type team. And you know, they're pretty close there. So overall, you know, discouraging loss, but and a frustrating loss that shouldn't have been. But a lot to praise at the same time, and a lot to look forward to in terms of where things are going. So I figure that'll do it for us here on the Hot Take Podcast. I'm going to go ahead and get back to little lengthier review of this once I get a chance to take a closer look at a few things, and then we'll do a film review around midweek and look at some of the decisions that were made one way or another and some of the wrinkles that were there. I do want to thank, before I go, the sponsors or the supporters, the big supporters of this show, the people who are Tomahawk level or above on Patreon, Bart Bertoldi, Hector Cartagena, Todd Howell, and now just newly, Keith Cheney and Neil Cook. Thanks to all of you who are above the Tomahawk level on Patreon. Your contributions are very appreciated, and hopefully this will continue to be worth it for all of you. Thanks once again to all the supporters and to the sponsors of the show. This has been the Unconquered Podcast, Hot Takes Edition, talking about Florida State 27, Miami 28. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.